Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Aaron Ladd, I want to run a take, an opinion, whatever you want to call it by you.
Sure.
So I saw that Patrick Mahomes was on the cover of Time Magazine. He was named as Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. I don't consider Patrick Mahomes to be influential, though. And this is the conversation that Rob and I was having off the air that I want to kind of run it by you.
Sure.
I think Patrick Mahomes' influence is kind of limited to other quarterbacks. Like the same way that for 20 years, if you were a gunslinger, who was the person you got compared to?
Brett Favre.
It didn't matter if you were Baker Mayfield, Jay Cutler, two people that play very differently and are just physically very differently. Oh, you remind me of Brett Favre.
Now welfare theorists will be reminded of.
100%. I think that's Mahomes' influences. Like Kyler Murray is a thing because Patrick Mahomes is a thing. So if you want to find like where he has had the biggest impact on that, I think it's in the way that we evaluate quarterbacks, and we just got to let some quarterbacks go. And I think that the way that we tried to teach them was, hey, let's try to deprogram you. Let's make you this robot that we can control and do all of this. That's not how you would get the most out of Patrick Mahomes. So that's where I think he has been influenced. I don't think Patrick Mahomes has an influence in the way that they use it. Have you ever bought something because Patrick Mahomes endorses it?
Yeah, but you can't use us in that scenario. I have seen kids getting the Patrick Mahomes haircut and the Oakley shades.
But we walk around Kansas City, who should be market number one for Patrick Mahomes. Do you know anybody that has a Patrick Mahomes hoodie with his logo on it? Because when I think of influence and ability to like move things, if Taylor Swift wore anything from a local store, that place would sell out immediately. She wears a hat of her boyfriend's podcast.
Yeah.
Instantly sell out. Boom. I'm going to buy it. If Taylor Swift went to a restaurant tomorrow and was like, hey, I really like fill in the blank restaurant, you would never be able to eat there again because of the demand for the restaurant. So obviously Patrick Mahomes is an incredible football player. I think we are talking about something very different if we are using the term influential. I don't think he's influential in that way, which is perfectly fine. A lot of really famous people are not influential in that way. I don't think Patrick Mahomes moves or shapes culture in the way to be considered one of the most influential people in the world.
And I think part of that is because we do not know who Patrick Mahomes is outside of being a great quarterback. I think the one thing that does make him influential and a big reason why his shoes move or his the way he attaches his brand to the Oakley shades and the haircut, that moves is because we associate Patrick Mahomes with greatness. And people want to be great regardless of where they are in their life. If they're a great barber, if they're a great salesman, whatever. They want to wear Mahomes because they want to feel great. But outside of that, I don't know if we identify Patrick Mahomes as influential for his personality. We don't really know who Patrick Mahomes is outside of that. His brand and the way he's marketed, the way he talks, the way he uses the platform that he's given, the way that he comes on the drive and talks, it's extremely manicured. It's extremely corporate. It's extremely rounded off. He even said later in that article, they asked him about his political views and how he would like use his voice to try to influence the next election. And he backed off from that immediately, saying, hey, I'm not going to talk about anybody about this kind of thing. And that's different from what we've seen in the past. He was a face of that NFL Roger Goodell and the video and the Black Lives Matter and them changing their stance on that. Influence is tough because you have to be willing to hurt feelings. You have to be willing to make decisions that maybe not everybody agrees with. And I think Mahomes and the way his brand has been shaped to this point, he wants to be as wide-ranging and widely appealing as possible, and then maybe one day he'll change his mind.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. I guess it's maybe twofold. Let's answer the first part you said about the politics. I don't have any problem with an athlete that just says, hey, that's not my focus.
That's different from what he said in the past, though.
I know, but going into this one, if your stance is, hey, I don't want to be in it. Hey, I am happy with where I am. I'm a father. I'm a football player. I have all my other interests. I don't need Patrick Mahomes to come out and tell me who he's voting for. He is an adult. He can make that decision. I'm an adult. I can make my decision. That's perfectly fine. Someone on the text line says, but C-Dot, Taylor Swift is kind of one-on-one. Like, I think there's other people that have the influence. Maybe that's Taylor Swift. Like,
what about Lionel Messi?
Let me give you a quick example, though. Like, your girlfriend, your wife, whoever, her fashion is influenced by Rihanna. Rihanna tells you a makeup to wear, you will go to the store and you will buy that makeup. Everybody been selling underwear. Rihanna started selling the same stuff and people went to the store and bought it. That's influence.
Sure. Kim Kardashian's in there too.
That's what I mean when you're talking about influence in this way. And no way am I taking away from what Patrick Mahomes is a great, incredible, he is the best football player in the world. But being the best football player in the world doesn't make you influential in the conversation that I'm having, at least.
I think another part of this conversation is we haven't fully seen his influence on the game yet is because he's only 28, 29. We have not fully seen what Patrick Mahomes' influence will be on the sport. Give it 10 years.
I see it with Caitlin Clark, and she's 22.
Different sport. Not an apples to orange comparison. I see where you're going. I see what the critique is here. This is a classic C-Dot take. But give it time. And I think also influence requires a little bit of risk, and Mahomes hasn't necessarily taken those risks at times.
I mean, was Tom Brady influential? Like, this might just be a quarterback thing. Like, that's what might would it be?
It could also be an NFL thing. The way that the league is shaped, the way that the game is shaped, the shield, it's all about leagues and teams. You don't root for necessarily players in the same way. Patrick Mahomes is influential in that way because when you say, name three Kansas City Chiefs, he's in that three for 100 out of the 100 people that you ask. And you can't say that for all teams across all sports anywhere. Caitlin Clark is in that for women's basketball, of course. But that's a very small class that we're talking about.
Do you see folks buying Mahomes endorsed behavior?
People, you are in a bubble.
I'm not trying to be funny. Bubble, I'm just saying is we all live in Kansas City. If we go out all the time. Do you see people wearing Patrick Mahomes stuff? Which I'm just
yes.
If there is not a jersey. I'm
the
saying
shoes,
is,
the shoes.
Rob.
People wear the shoes.
You've seen this before? I'm not trying to be funny. I don't see a lot of Patrick Mahomes stuff out. Maybe I'm just missing it.
I haven't, but I also wouldn't. I'm not the shoe guy. Like, I'm not the sneakerhead. So some people are in a shoe, I wouldn't notice, honestly. This is not my niche.
Mahomes is also very specific to football. When I think of influence, someone else is a controversial name, but Kanye West is extremely influential. When you think about how he impacted 100%. Music, when you think about how he impacted fashion, it all changed based on some of the moves that he made. But that's controversial in a way. Mahomes has not made, he just has not taken those risks. He's a wide-ranging corporate, almost like kind of like a Disney type of thing where it's like, I'm a football guy, I'm a family guy. He always comes back to family somehow. I think he is extremely influential in that realm, but you're not in that realm.
Who do you think is the most influential American athlete? Like, if you just had to be like, if you had to make a list.
Are we talking about current or
yeah,
ever?
Current. Like, currently playing sports right now, who is the most influential American athlete?
Of all time, I would say Michael Jordan.
Yeah, of course. Some of that's not even close.
Currently, LeBron James. When you talk about what he does on the court, when you talk about his impact on the game, when you talk about what he does off the field or off the court with the I Promise School, the shop, the way that, I mean, the podcast thing wasn't exactly him, but now every athlete is doing some emulation of that. It's hard to argue with LeBron being the most influential current athlete.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think LeBron's probably the answer. I'm with you. I just think that Patrick's impact and like his influence is going to be like his kind of like touch on the city is going to be like much more through like philanthropic charitable ventures. Like I just wouldn't be surprised at the end of his career if like Patrick Mahomes' legacy is he builds a hospital in Kansas City. Like he is going to have the money. You go into it with some other rich people and right next to Children's Mercy, it will be the Patrick Mahomes Hospital. Like that's what I think his influence is going to be in the city after he's done playing.
But I mean, influence also isn't always measured in how many sneakers are you selling or that kind of thing. Like a lot of us have jobs in this space because of the success the Chiefs have had over these last 2 years. Like media is epically changing in a way, not to mention what's happening to Arrowhead Pride. But like, imagine what that would look like had the Chiefs not had these runs or had Mahomes not been drafted in that kind of success. Like maybe influence is one of those things that's hard to measure as well. And like brand deals and that kind of thing is part of it. But I think influence on the game is also another part of it, and culture. And that, like, I would push back a little bit on he's not influential.
That is our guy, Aaron Ladd, joining us in studio today.
The most influential.
Yeah, I just wanted to run my theory by you on Patrick Mahomes and get what you thought, man. A lot of people are making your point about the Mahomes haircut, that a lot of kids in KC got the Mahomes haircut going on. I do see the Mahomes haircut. I see the Mahomes haircut more than I see other Mahomes stuff. I ain't really walked around and seen too many people wearing a Patrick Mahomes hoodie. We all know some little boy right now that got the Mahomes cut.
Maybe one day you'll get a haircut.
I'm going to go to your barber to do it. No, let me ask you the question really quick.
I know exactly what you're about to ask, by the way.
No, let me ask you this question. No, not even that question. All right, if your barber if you have an appointment for noon, mm-hmm. What time do you get there, and what time do you actually sit down and get a haircut?
He's by the book. I mean, this guy is.
Everybody says that about their barber. That's not real life.
I try to get there at 11:55 just to be safe.
And he ready 11:55?
Not always.
Yeah, rarely.
Not always.
My barber, it's always something. He on the phone. He got to change. It's always something.
Hold on. Ask him the other barber question, because I guarantee you're in the wrong.
About tipping your barber?
About tipping.
Do you tip the barber?
Yes.
Thank you.
Every time or sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah, Rob tips every time.
Well, I'm a regular. Like, I'm every 2 weeks, so I can't tip every time. But, I mean, so it's 50 for a cut. I usually baseline go 55.
Yeah, I'm big. I mean, I tip sometimes. I guess like I never tip. But my stance is then just charge what you want to charge. Like you set the price.
Bro, it's a service industry. You have to like show love and like it's like a craft to it. There's a relationships business.
But your barber sets the price. If your barber want a haircut to be $20, they'd be $20. Nobody's telling him what price he could set for. He chose for the cuts to be 50. So if you choose for the cuts to be 50, but you really want 60, then just charge me $60.
The C and C dot stands for cheap.
No, how is the cheap paying you what the price is? That's all I'm doing.
You're supposed to pay for for instance, I was a couple minutes late one time.
Oh, you were late.
So then it's like, okay, I'm paying for that time and that space, because believe it or not, they could put somebody else in that seat. I know you believe that the barber's just sitting there waiting for you to show up and then they cut you and then they don't do anything else until you come back. But there's a part of the business that like you have to pay for that.
Oh, I got to ask you this question, too. Now I have another.
Just have me on the show.
No, I got another thing. It's the last thing I'm going to ask you. So Rob makes fun of me. All right. So let's say this. All right. This is the good question. All right. You are at a bar, right? You're at a bar.
Regularly.
Okay, fine. Are you tipping the attractive woman and the man a different price for your drink?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rob's like, no, why would you do that? I'm like, Rob, stop it. Come on now. Rob called me crazy for doing that. I'm like, what? I'm sorry, Brian, you were in the wrong field to me. I'm sorry. You need to be doing something else. Brianna, I'm giving you a little bit more tip. We're having a different conversation.
You.
Something's wrong with you over there.
You.
I'm not tipping them the same. I'm sorry.
But it's not as of like, hey, I'm trying to like make a move or I'm interested.
No, I'm just.
But it's just like, yeah, showing love.
I just want. I'm much more lively to talk to Brianna than talk to Brian. Me and Brian, it's just going to be a, hey, you watching the game? There's not much else I'm talking to you about, Brian. I'm sorry. I don't know you.
Are you tipping me for being on today and the extra time that I've now spent on the drive?
You get stuff once a month for coming on this show. Now you want extra for mediocre takes. That's what's wrong with this country today. We're giving people extra money for just simply existing. That's Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 News joining us on the show today. We appreciate you and your time. Thanks a lot. The most influential
Yes, sir.
The most influential individual. Coming up on the other side, I do have something I want to talk to you guys about regarding the NFL draft. We'll do that next. Keep right here. So Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by Deepest Guali Moore. Car, truck, or motorcycle wreck? Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kansas City, it's Isaiah Pacheco. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
All right, Rob, I want to do something really quickly. The NFL draft is right around the corner. In fact, we are actually a week away from round one of the NFL draft. That's what I would like to do. Give me a little bit of NFL music, and I want to go through the Brett Veach drafts, and let's give them our own grade now that we have the information. You know how it is. When these draft grades come out, we flock to the internet to hear what Mel Kiper thinks about, but nobody ever takes the time to go back and give them a revised grade. Let's do that now with Brett Veach drafts. Let's start in 2018. The Chiefs did not have a first-round pick. They used that pick to jump up to go get Patrick Mahomes. In the second round, they got Breland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, Dorian O'Daniel in the third round, Armani Watts in the fourth round, Tremont Smith in the sixth, and Khalil McKenzie. Rob, what would you give the Chiefs' 2018 draft?
I mean, that's a fail, right? Like, if you want to be nice, D minus. But I mean, that's bad. Do they have a single second contract guy in that grouping?
Derek Nnadi,
yeah, they got one. Who, for a third round pick, is a fine player. So you know what? You're right.
Dorian O'Daniel might still be on the team. He was like oddly on the team for like 2 years longer than I remember him being on the team. Boy, people thought Dorian O'Daniel was going to work out. I mean, this is as bad of a draft class that you can have now in hindsight. Like, I'm sure we're going to give out some A's later on in this exercise, but this draft class, now, unless you're just, hey, their first round pick, they use that to go get Patrick Mahomes. If you're giving it an A because of that, like, I'm not going to fault you now with the information we have on Patrick Mahomes. But in terms of the six players that they drafted, I mean, Rob, I think they could have gave me and you the six picks in 2018, and we probably could have done better than what they did in 2018. This is bad.
Also, remember, they traded up for Breland Speaks. They didn't just stand pat and get a bad player. They moved up. They did some moving and shaking to get a guy who was out of the league a year and a half later. Yeah, that Derek Nnadi saves it from the F. You're probably right. It's a D minus.
Yeah, no, this is really bad. I'm sitting here looking at it. Like, I would think if we, like, we could probably just take the pick, like, right after theirs and still have a better draft class. Like, that year, Breeland Speaks with the 46th pick. The 47th pick, Rob, that year was Christian Kirk. They drafted Derek Nnadi. The next pick was Mason Rudolph. Like, we could probably just take the next pick after all of those and probably get a better grade than what they got back in 2018. That is just a really, really bad draft class. Moving to 2019, they did not have a first-round pick. I'm pretty sure that's because they got Frank Clark in the 2019 season. Their draft picks, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Colin Saunders, Rashad Fenton, Darwin Thompson, and Nick Allegretti. That was their 2019 draft. How would you grade this now?
Not good again. It's not.
Oh, you're lower. You're lower on this class than I am. Then I'm not as low as you are.
C minus, D plus, right in there. Like, okay, Mecole Hardman scored a game winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, so it probably bumps up to C minus. But like, where are the impact players? Juan Thornhill was solid. But you know who Juan Thornhill is? Juan Thornhill was L'Jarius Sneed. Really good for 4 years on one contract. They walked at the end of it. Like, Sneed was better than Thornhill. I'm aware of that. But, yeah, C minus D plus, right in that range.
I think a C is a fair grade for this. I thought initially you were going to give it a D just by the sound that you made. I think Mecole Hardman's been a capable NFL player. Now, would you use a top 75 pick on Mecole Hardman? Probably not, but I do think he's been a capable NFL player. Juan Thornhill's probably going to have a 10-year career in the NFL. He was a good draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs in the second round. Colin Saunders is probably going to be a guy that plays 8 years in the league. Nick Allegretti has started in 2 Super Bowls.
I mean, Allegretti might be the saving grace this draft. Maybe I'm too hard on it, but the high end was not the high end. It was the early Veach special. Find value late.
Yeah, I think it's a C plus C now that I'm really talking it out. I think the 2019 draft class gets a C plus C somewhere in that range. 2020, they had 7 picks. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the 32nd overall pick. Willie Gay Jr. was pick 63. Lucas Niang, pick 96. That's a name we have not talked about in a long time. They got L'Jarius Sneed in the 4th round. He was pick 138. Michael Dana was pick 177. And Bo Pete Keys, pick 237 for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm very curious to hear how you feel about this draft class, because out of this draft class, not a lot of second contract guys, and I know that's a big thing for you.
They get a C. It's buoyed a lot by how great L'Jarius Sneed was.
A whole lot. A C? Oh, come on. How C. can you give that other draft class a C and then this one gets a C too? No, come on.
I mean,
it's
probably C minus, but like.
Hold on really quick. You even got another 3rd round pick out of this draft class. What you got from Sneed? The C's way too harsh.
I was about to say, let's see what happens with the Sneed pick. Like, the jury is still out. It's 11 of 12 jurors that made a decision, but there's still another data point to plot. But you know how I feel about running back in round 1. Yikes. Lucas Niang was nothing ever for this franchise. He might be on the roster. He might not. We do this for a living, and we don't really know.
Yeah, I forgot about Lucas Niang. We haven't talked about Lucas Niang in a long time.
Willie Gay was a good linebacker, but linebackers are the running backs of defense, so your first 2 picks from positions I don't value at all.
I think this is a B minus.
I think you're reading too high. I might be a little bit hater, but
Willie Gay Jr., capable starter. Sneed, a Pro Bowl caliber player. And Michael Dana, a good rotational piece. And you also traded. You turned your 4th round pick into Pro Bowl level production, and you get a 3rd round pick on the back end of it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you certainly overdrafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but other than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which I know it's talking about the 1st round pick, there weren't a whole lot of misses in this draft class. You'll always take a swing on a Lucas Niang in the 3rd round. He was a guy you remember. I mean, use a top 100 pick on a guy that, if he had stayed healthy, could have been a starting caliber tackle in the league. Yeah, this is an okay draft class. I would give this a B minus. Yeah, I think a C is a little harsh for that draft class.
I think it also I might be tainted. Running back in round 1 is just so stupid. It's an anchor.
I don't
around
think
the
it's
greatness.
Stupid. It just didn't work. Those are 2 different things.
It's
it
both.
Just didn't work.
It's both. It's stupid, and it rarely ever works because it's stupid.
No, if we went back and looked at the last 10 first-round running backs, I bet you there's more hits than misses.
Hits on the team that drafted them or hits in general?
Let's look it up.
We'll look it up.
After we get done with this, let's look it up. Okay. And let's see. The last 10. Pull it up. Pull up the last 10 first-round running backs, and let's see who we give a hit to, who we not give a hit to. I'm happy to play this exercise with you. Oh, this is going to be your favorite draft class. 2021, Nick Bolton, Creed Humphrey, Joshua Kando, Noah Gray, Cornell Powell, and Trey Smith. These are positions you don't value a whole lot.
But they got a lot of star power. No,
I know what I'm going to give this draft class. I'm giving this draft class an A.
I was going to say B+.
Oh, of course.
B+. It's like an 88, 89.
They got three capable starters out of this draft class.
I'm crediting them for that.
They get a B?
They get a B+.
What do you got to do to get an A? You got to hit on quarterback to get an A? Who you got to draft? Justin Jefferson?
Quarterback is the name of the game.
That'd be great. I mean, you got Nick Bolton, you got an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber linebacker. Creed Humphrey's one of the three best players in his position. Trey Smith has been a star. You got three day one starters. If that can't get you an A, then what are we talking about? Noah Gray has also been a more than capable tight end number two for the Chiefs. You're telling me they had six picks and they hit on four of them? That's a win for me. I don't know what you're talking about over there. All right, we'll do this last draft class here because I don't want to do last year's draft class. It's obviously too much left to be determined. Hell, we didn't see half of these guys play last year. We didn't even see their first round pick last year.
Well, I mean, is that because of the choice?
No, that's fair.
I mean, I agree it's too early to judge, but like,
I would say on this 2022 draft class, I would say it's not too early to judge. We have seen two full seasons for them, and at the end of this upcoming year, guys, we're going to start having conversations about if you want to pay some of these guys. I think we can evaluate the 2022 draft class right now. In the first round, they had two picks because of the Tyreek Hill trade. Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis. Sky Moore, Brian Cook were in the second round. Leo Chenault, Joshua Williams, Darian Kennard was in the fifth round. They had three seventh-round picks. Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, Najee Johnson. They had a lot of picks in 2022 because of the Tyreek Hill trade.
I mean, here comes my A. That's the A.
Finally.
That's the A.
All right, so in order to get an A from Rob.
Hitting on premium positions. Pass rush, nailed it. Multiple corners, nailed it. Okay, great job.
I mean, I'm looking at this. This is, I don't know if you can expect to have a better draft class than this.
That's how A's are supposed to work. They're the top of the heap.
I mean, I agree. I think the other one's an A too, but they had two back-to-back draft classes that I would give an A. Trent McDuffie, starter. George Karloftis, a starter. Brian Cook, a starter. Leo Chenault, more than capable rotational piece. Joshua Williams, possible starter, would be a starter for a whole lot of other teams in the league. Jalen Watson, a starter. Isaiah Pacheco, a Pro Bowl caliber running back. That's a strong draft class. That's a really good draft class.
It's an A. You're hitting on premium positions. Hitting on guard is great. Who cares? Hitting on pass rush and corner matters more. Hitting on linebacker, who cares?
Hitting on starters. Why would you not want capable starters
at non-valuable positions? You can find starters in off the trash heap. See Drew Tranquil. By the way, I have the last 10 running backs.
Let's do it.
I'm excited for this.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm guessing my hit and your hit are going to be.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
You got to be Earl Campbell for you to consider them to be a hit at running back. That's who they got. They got to be Ezekiel Elliott in order for them to count as a hit.
Oh, I can't wait to disagree on Ezekiel Elliott. You're going to say he was a hit. It's going to be a nightmare.
Ezekiel Elliott, he doesn't get your hit conversation?
We're going the last 10.
Okay. All right. We're arguing about Ezekiel Elliott, I'm ready to go to commercial. I don't even want to talk to you about it if we can't agree on Ezekiel Elliott was a hit for the Cowboys.
All right, so we'll work backwards. Most recent delays.
All right, fine.
Last year, there were two first-round running backs. There was Bijan Robinson.
A hit.
Why? What has Bijan done that's hit-worthy?
Bijan was a very good player last year. Bijan had a great season last year. Let me pull up Bijan's stats really quick. I mean, he was 4 yards short of 1,000 yards. A little more than that, bad.
That's not correct.
Yeah, I can't read. He averaged 4.6 yards per carry last year, so he was more than capable. And then he had 500 yards receiving. We're hating on a guy as a rookie that had 1,400 all-purpose. What are we doing here? That's a hit.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 1,200 all-purpose yards in year one. Like,
it was trending to be a hit. It was trending that way. Now, if you added up his last 3 years, he doesn't have it. Yes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire rookie year, if they had kept getting that player, I would have called that a hit.
I'll call it a stalemate.
Okay, all right.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
A hit.
Same as Bijan to me.
Oh, my
He's
goodness.
Not even, what even
we can't
starter?
Count Jahmyr Gibbs as a hit.
He wasn't even the starter. You took a backup running back at 12.
Okay.
There were no first-round running backs in 2022. Good job, America.
I just want to point out that rookies are getting 1,400 yards from scrimmage, and we can't put them in the you hit on that.
I didn't say miss.
You called it a stalemate.
It's a stalemate.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
The data has
who
not
was really good last year.
Really good.
He was really good last year.
No 2022 first round draft picks. There were two in 2021. Najee Harris.
A miss.
Okay, good.
I would consider Najee a miss.
You were gearing up like it was hit, and I was going to be mad. That's a miss.
I could tell that I wasn't going to like the draft class because you were too eager to introduce
it. Exciting.
You were 2021. You
here
were too eager. Nah, man. I didn't like your energy about it.
The other first-round pick that year, Travis Etienne.
I actually think he's more of a stalemate than the first two.
I have him a stalemate. That's
I think
fine.
He's more of a stalemate. I think he is a good player. I don't think he is as good as those first two guys. I mean, now, I don't think you missed if you were Jacksonville on drafting Travis Etienne. I think he has been a capable running back, but I could see the argument both ways. Hey, if you spend a first round pick on a running back, he's got to be a little bit better than Travis Etienne is. I won't put him in the miss category. I will put him in that stalemate category. So I got two hits and one stalemate and one Najee Harris is a miss.
I have four stalemates and one Najee
I actually
Harris.
Thought Najee Harris was going to be pretty good. I was high on Najee Harris. I felt like he got drafted to the perfect team.
In 2020, there was only one first-round draft.
All right, yeah. Miss. We know. All right, Clyde's a miss. Okay. All right, yeah. You got that one.
2019, another one first-round running back. Josh Jacobs.
I would consider him to be a hit.
Josh Jacobs is interesting. The lowest of lows were bad.
They were bad. I agree.
But the highest of highs were very, very good.
I would consider Josh Jacobs to be a hit.
I would trend hit. Trending hit. Yeah. I'll say hit.
Okay. The fact that you have it trending hit lets me know it was a good pick.
Then we have three more to round out our 10 in the 2018 draft.
Look at that. See how it ended so symmetrically here?
In 2018, there was Saquon Barkley.
Hit.
No.
We're not doing this on Saquon. Stop it.
No, no, no.
Saquon's not a hit.
Saquon is going to be successful in Philadelphia. That's not a hit
for
the Giants. He had two good seasons. Actually, I actually think it was only one good season and then lots of injuries.
He had three seasons where he ran for over 1,000 yards.
Did he ever play in 17 games?
No, but that's not the only metric,
though.
He
also was two overall, so he's held to a different standard than regular first-round picks.
I mean, his first year, he played in 16 games and ran for 1,300 yards.
First, that's
and
one of the
goods. And had 700 yards receiving.
That's
a great year.
I said they had two good seasons. That's one of the goods.
I would say his second year, he ran for 1,000 yards in 13 games and had 500 yards receiving. That's another really strong season.
And then the playoff year.
Yeah, so he had three good years out of six.
The next two we're not going to even disagree on. Rashad Penny.
No.
That's a no. I honestly don't remember the Rashad Penny Seahawks era at all.
Neither does he.
And finally, Sony Michel.
No.
I agree. No, that's a miss. So more than not, it's a stalemate or a miss.
Okay. For you. It was more hits in there than no's.
I think if you add your stalemates, it's going to come stalemates and no's outweigh yeses.
Okay, maybe.
You were probably 6-4 stalemates, no's. Rashad Penny and Sony Michel really tipped the scales.
They were no. Yeah, you got lucky there at the end. What would you consider Leonard Fournette?
I think he's similar to Josh Jacobs, but the problem is when the team started winning, he was off the team.
Okay, I just was wondering. And he was also good with Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. But does Jacksonville get credit for having him be a good player somewhere else? That's the million-dollar question.
No, you're right. I just was curious. Speaking of hits, Rob, did you know that MJ Melendez did not have a hit in the entire road trip? The whole thing. The entire road trip. I'm sitting here looking. I'm doing the math right now. Over 18. At least in his at-bats. I'm sure there's some walks in there. I just did some quick math there. Over 18 on the road trip for MJ Melendez. Also, Mikel Garcia also went the entire road trip and did not have a hit. So if you were looking for, hey, how can the Royals kind of spice this thing up and get a little bit more offense than they currently have, I think we have identified possibly where it starts. And I would say that their offense and them finding a little bit of boost is going to start with Mikel Garcia. And it is going to start with MJ Melendez. I mean, Mikel Garcia this year, he has the second most at-bats on the team behind Bobby Witt Jr., and he just went an entire road trip without getting a hit. MJ Melendez, he is what, your five hitter, and he went 0-for for the entire road trip. So I said this off the top. I will never complain about a 500 road trip. And if the Royals do that every single time, the Royals will have a chance to make the postseason at the end. If they can tread water in the road games and take care of business at home, that is the formula in any sport to make the postseason. So the fact that they went on the road for six and they lost a 50-50 series and won the one that they were supposed to get, cool. That's great. They're going to have series where they beat teams like the Mets. They did what they were supposed to do on that road trip, and now they come back home. They got three against the Orioles. They lost the series on the road to the Orioles. Two of those were in walk-off fashion. Let's hope that you turn those things around now that they come to your building, and you also got Toronto at Kauffman Stadium for three as well. So have a winning homestand. The last time you swept the homestand, that's not realistic every time that you have them, but now that you treaded water on the road, I would say, let's try to win these series. Let's try to take care of business at home. And let's try to, by the end of this road trip, can they be in first place in the division?
Maybe this is me sipping the Royals Kool-Aid just a little bit. But I wonder if the Royals have bought themselves a little benefit of the doubt when it comes to their offense being a little bit suspect at times this year because their pitching has been so good. Like, I agree with you. You can't score seven runs in three games Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the O's and feel like, man, we took two of three and we really could have swept. That's, the O's are too good for that. But you kind of are able to be patient with this offense and kind of wait for an MJ Melendez to kind of heat back up. You're kind of able to hope that Mikel Garcia can, you know, kick back into gear. Earlier in the year, Pasquantino was struggling. He's starting to come into gear. You can be a little more patient and be a little more woo-saw with the offense because of how good the starting pitching has been. Like, the offense needs to get better, but I don't think it needs to become, you know, some scoring machine that's putting up 4.5, 5 runs a game. It just needs to do enough to survive in advance. So I agree the offense wasn't good enough, but I'm not at, you know, on a panic level. I'm probably like a 3.5 because the pitching is so good. And you hope, because that's how baseball works, the offense progresses as the pitching eventually regresses and you continue to win games just in new forms and fashion over the 162.
Really quickly, I want to go back to what we were talking about. Someone on the text line says, you guys are tripping. I would absolutely consider Najee Harris to be a hit. He's had 3 1,000-yard seasons. I think we put a lot more stock into 1,000-yard seasons than we need to. Like, for example, in Najee Harris's rookie year, he ran for 1,200 yards. He had less than 4 yards a carry. Like, he was not super productive. He just got way more opportunities than most running backs do. Like, that kind of matters to me when it comes to Najee Harris. I mean, his career average is less than 4 yards a carry as a first-round running back and a guy who he's never missed a start. He's just been fine. He doesn't really catch the ball out of the backfield. He's not really liable to break one. I would consider Najee Harris to be a miss. I'm not the biggest Najee Harris guy. And last year, it was times I didn't even think he was their best running back. I thought Jaylen Warren was their better running back. So you can't be a first-round pick at running back, and we're not even 100% certain if you're the best running back that they have.
Yeah, I agree with your larger scale point that we just too often look, 1,000 yards, boom, did it. It's the same way we talked about, like, with receivers and targets. You can get to 1,000 yards running back just by pure volume, and the Steelers are going to pound the rock. It's been their identity since Heinz Field was Three Rivers and it was turf. They pound the rock. That's what they do. But, you know, you run it 300 times or 3.5 yards a carry, that, yeah, you get to your 1,000 yards, but does that mean, like, oh, man, he was great? No. I think too often we just see, oh, 1,000 must be good.
Yeah, I mean, no, 100%. Like, I'm looking at, like, last year, I mean, Najee Harris had 100 more yards than Isaiah Pacheco, but had 50 more carries. Like, if you had given Isaiah Pacheco 50 more carries the way that Najee Harris would have got him, he would have been a much more productive player last year. Like, Isaiah Pacheco last year averaged 4.6 yards per carry, was 4.9 as a rookie. Isaiah Pacheco has been a better running back than Najee Harris. Like, I don't think that was the debate, but just he has just done more with less than what we've seen Najee Harris do. And Isaiah Pacheco has never ran for 1,000 yards in his NFL career. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by Deep Pasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Kansas City, it's George Karlaftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I want to put you on something that has changed in the NFL draft. Yesterday, Rob, the odds for Jalen Daniels to be the number two overall pick were minus 330, and for Drake May to be the number two overall pick, it was plus 270. Today, for Jalen Daniels, it is minus 180, and for Drake May, it is plus 130. So I don't know what has changed. Maybe there was a mock draft that came out. You know that they have a big sway, a big swing on how people bet and how people feel at this time. But the value for Drake May has been chopped in half over the course of 24 hours, and it doesn't feel like as much of a certainty that they are going with Jaden Daniels based on how this thing has turned over the course of the last 24 hours. I still believe that it's a smokescreen, their interest in Drake May. I do believe that the Washington Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels with the number two overall pick. I'm kind of starting to be on the fence if Drake May is going number three overall. I think that's how we expect the board to go. And maybe this is me now kind of buying into a lot of the different conversations, a lot of the hype. And I was listening to Mina Kimes yesterday, and she said that Drake May is the one quarterback prospect that people have become more iffy on. I mean, there's really one team that we keep penciling Drake May in for. Everybody believes that he is going to be the number three overall pick and that the Patriots are going to tell him. What if the Patriots don't feel that way and the Patriots go in a different direction and they choose to get their quarterback later in the draft? So we obviously will see what happens. We are a week away, but I found that interesting that the odds have changed so quickly for the number two and number three overall pick.
I don't want to overreact either, because remember, it may have been the day before the draft or maybe literal draft day last year. Remember when the odds swung substantially and everyone thought C.J. Stroud was going to go number one overall? And like Bryce Young, who had been kind of locked in the number one overall, suddenly was plus money for a few minutes. Like it was a small window of time, and it may have been literal draft day, but there was a moment when we had a big pendulum swing and then it swung back. And if you had gotten in at the right time, you could have made some money then. So I'm not saying betting markets bear no value, but I'm not overreacting to betting markets based on Drake May, Jalen Daniels. I think Daniels is going two. I also think Drake May is going three, because if New England skips on May, then I think the Vikings sprint up to four and get May, because May is going to be better than J.J. McCarthy. I think the Vikings are where it gets fascinating at four. But if the Patriots pass and they think they can get Bo Nix in round two or whatever, then I think they're fools. But that's neither here nor there.
So I just started paying attention to this, and maybe it's just I'm kind of in the Caitlin Clark ecosphere right now, as many of us are. Is Fanatics really this bad? Like, I know they were having all the issues with the baseball uniforms, right? Like, nobody liked the baseball uniforms. I don't know if you saw this or not. The Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey was very, very popular. Sold out in an hour of every size that they had. Now, you guys know how it is. You buy something online and you are expecting to get your item in a relatively quick fashion. That is not going to be the case with Caitlin Clark uniforms. They said you're not getting your jersey until August. It's April. They said they're having production issues. Wait, hold on. Then give me my money back. You don't get to just keep my money for the next 120 days while you guys figure it out. No, why don't you give me my money back and then give me the option in 120 days if I now want to buy the jersey because now you can ship it out in a reasonable time. You shouldn't even be allowed to do that. You shouldn't be allowed to take payment on something and then on the back end be like, oh, wait, well, we're not going to be able to ship this thing out for. No, you shouldn't be able to do that. That should be illegal.
I saw someone tweet this, and I apologize for not remembering who it was, so my bad for not crediting properly. Is Fanatics just Ticketmaster? We just don't know it, because Fanatics fumbled the bag in Major League Baseball. They messed up the Caitlin Clark situation. They are a little bit price gougy with their jersey sales. Is Fanatics just Ticketmaster, and they're the next one we all point to and say, we hate that company?
It doesn't make any sense to me why it's so bad. Like, I'm genuinely confused on how it's so bad or why it's so bad, just given who their owner is. For those of you who don't know the backstory, their owner, he's like a really successful individual. He owns the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, you were really successful in owning that business, and now you can't get this part right. It's, how hard is this? You've known she was going to be the number one overall pick for months. You guys should have had these things hot and ready to come off the press the moment it was official. Hey, we got them right now. Boom, we're shipping them out. It's not like Fanatics is unsure about who the third overall pick is going to be. We're talking about Drake May, right? It's not like, all right, hey, I don't know if we can have these Drake May jerseys because we don't want to be stuck having a bunch of Drake May jerseys and we can't do anything with them because we don't know where he's going to get picked. Or at the number two overall pick. If you're Fanatics, you know what you can be doing right now? Getting the Caleb Williams jerseys ready. You can go ahead and have them ready. So then when the pick is announced, you got a link. Buy the link. We're going to ship your jersey out. You're going to have it by Monday morning. It seems very straightforward to me, but somehow Fanatics is having a tough time with this, buying and selling of jerseys. It doesn't make sense to me.
I didn't know this. Text line pointed out. Maybe the text line is wrong. Who knows? They pointed out that they bought Topps trading cards. And ever since then, the trading cards are getting worse. Like, I'm not saying that the owner of the Sixers, the owner of Fanatics, isn't a successful businessman. But it seems like right now, everything they touch turns to whatever the opposite of gold is. Jersey sales, bad. Baseball cards, bad. Actual jerseys on the baseball players, horrendous. Like, he must have been smart at business in some form or fashion, but it seems like the current state of Fanatics is, everyone please disperse, nothing to see here, because it's been a disaster.
Coming up on the other side, Jeff Passan was on the Pat McAfee show to talk about a problem that is affecting our youth. I want to talk to you guys about it because I imagine that many of you have kids that have also been in this situation, and I genuinely need your help to understand something. I'll tell you what it is coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.